one operator could take all could monitor our primary frequency and use it for all in and out, but he'd be one busy dude. And I think and actually in our drill on May 4th, the only requirement was that there be assigned an operator to monitor each city's primary repeater frequency. Primary frequency, not repeater. Because I think of Laguna Beach, which is strictly simplex. So, but the requirement in the drill was that every city have at least one person monitoring a primary frequency, according to the Yellow Book. So maybe it is true. We might be forced to do it with one person. And then we have on slide 84 a review of our priorities, which we already talked about. Al already went through it. The key thing on number 3, obtain confirmed acknowledgement from your net control before initiating any change of position or assignment. I think that's the key thing. The other one, of course, monitor the radio. Priority 2 and safety is so obviously they're we've seen them before, they're all important. Slide 85. Okay, this is the ICC operational briefing. The key word is briefing or briefings. And this is basically our IAP briefing, is what we're talking about here. And I think most of it is pretty self-explanatory. It says conduct, third bullet down is conducting, briefings conducting during change of shift. And I think we're agreed that using a radio log is redundant. So that will not be tried again. 86, slide 86, position changes. Don't just get up and walk away from your position, leaving the radio hanging. Conduct a shift change update. And I'd suggest we do it verbally without the log. And then notice it says, provide a thorough situation status or SITSTAT briefing with complete details. I think that's why we need the 214 that we talked about earlier. Going past slide 87 to 88. Anybody think that their slide 88 is not realistic in a real deal, in a real disaster?
It might get real stinky after a couple of days.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, remember we had one slide in one of the other courses that personal hygiene was important. So, I think we probably all bailed before that. Let's go on to slide 89. Okay, ICC operating environment. It says documentation is required. Okay, we've seen that over and over. Third item, keep all documents updated as events unfold or happen. That's the key thing. Don't try to remember, as too many things will happen in a short period of time. Hence the power of the steno pad that Jay is done a good job using. And it says, and you don't know how long you will occupy a given position. So, again, document it as it goes. It'll be a whole lot easier. Slide 90. Okay, assignments within ICC should fit the individual being assigned a position. Now I think Jay, that's where you came up with the idea that maybe we could do assignments via the resource net. Although I think there's a problem with that. Assignments should fit the individual. Again, given that we're going to have very limited resources, we all have to be jack of all trades.
Yeah.
We need to know how to log. We need to know how to take messages, whatever. We probably all need to know how to do WinLink and operate that equipment.
The requirements to define fit would be very broad.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Fit means if you're a member, you fit.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Documentation positions will require lots of writing. An aggressive rotation schedule is recommended. I think that's really true. Dale, what's your feeling? You got stuck with being logger a couple times, and I know I.
No, I don't think I was a logger at all.
Well, maybe the exercise prior. I can remember you had third shift. And you had a stack of entries yet to do, and you stayed well beyond the 11 o'clock mark to finish logging it all.
I don't recall that at all, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, it's
You should have written down what you did. You're not remembering it.
Yeah. It's called a senior moment. So. Anyway, I think it's absolutely true that you don't want to get stuck doing logging for the full 2 hours because it's just too stressful.
And I think that's where automation can get help.
That would make it so much easier.
And that being able to read it too, because if you're going to read different people's handwritings, I don't know about everybody's penmanship, but I'm sure there was some chicken scratching there. So.
That's why I need this software program.
Yep. Yeah, we need to do a quick and dirty software program that make it easier for us.
If we develop a spreadsheet or something for the logging, mm-hmm. I suggest there should also be a column where we indicate who's on that logging position at that time. Because
mm-hmm.
Knut was the first logger on the fourth, and then I came in. So on his, I put a line out, put his call sign, and I put my call sign in my group. And then below that, it was Barb, I think.
Yeah.
I think she put her call sign. So we know who did the logging at that point.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good idea. But again, if like in a logging program, you say, okay, who is the operator currently? You know, you could capture that and then you put it in at once, and until you have the shift change, it's done deal. Okay. Voice positions must maintain calm, cool, and collected composure, obviously. And one of the comments on the feedback forms for the drill was practice makes perfect. Wow, now I've got 5 minutes to deal with the safety timer concept. Okay, what is a safety timer? You can read through it, but basically safety timer is if a field unit person feels they're in a dangerous position, they can request of the EOC to initiate a safety timer. And the concept is that, and say a safety timer every 10 minutes. At that point, as you can see in, I'm just going to verbalize it because we have limited time. The concept safe timer is then, as soon as that comes in, the fact that it's been initiated must be reported up to the ZR25 or the or in our case to Charlie, that somebody feels they're in jeopardy. Now, why might they be in jeopardy? Strange people are surrounding my car. I feel if I'm out monitoring a fire situation, there's a lot of smoke and I'm really worried about my safety. And so the field operator initiates this. Then what happens, and you can read through this, is that the EOC operator every 10 minutes will check on the field op and say, hey, are you okay? And so for example, on slide 94, field 94 says, okay, unit, but I would say field operator number 5, advise your status. And the field op says, working. EOC, copy working, confirm reset. Now, confirm reset is a question. Reset means, if it's affirmative, it means keep it going. Keep the timer going for another 10 minutes. If the response from the field op is negative, it says cancel the timer. That's what's going on here. And then the EOC says, so let's say the field op said affirmative. Well, then EOC says, timer reset at such and such hours for K6IWA in the field. And then the field operator responds, K6IWA. So that's what that sequence is. On slide 95, safety timers must be documented on a 214. Notice all the musts here, and I think they're important. The ZR2R must advise management immediately if a safety timer request comes in. That makes sense. The ZR2R must obtain confirmed acknowledgement from the management of the event. So you got to be sure, not only report up to command that you've got a timer situation going, but you get command to pair it back to you that they understand that there's a dangerous situation going for the field op. On slide 96, okay, this is the dialogue between the person in EOC and management. And okay, between the logger? No. And the logger, yes. Yeah, if you draw a line between where it says ZR25 copy and 2 delta question mark, the first two are the dialogue between the ZR2R and management, the ZR25, or think of it as command. And the other two bullets are communicating the same information and getting a confirmation from 2 delta, which is the logger position. So you're right, Jay. In slide 97, it says, as far as message processing, okay, whenever there's an immediate or a priority message, we got to notify our command structure. That's something we've never practiced.